Hello again, everyone. Welcome to this edition of Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. My name is Michael Moret. Scripture Verse by Verse is a radio program that goes through the Bible, verse by verse, from Genesis through Revelation, teaching the whole counsel of God, which is what I've been doing now for over 30 years. And today we're going to do that again, and we're in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We got some unfinished business in verse 26, and then we'll go into chapter 3. So get your Bible, open it up to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. While you're doing that, that'll give me just a little bit of time to tell you about the Scripture Verse by Verse website, which is found at thebibleversebyverse.com. And you can study the Bible, three complete series going through the Bible, the whole counsel of God, verse by verse, from Genesis through Revelation, study at your pace, at your convenience, using my audio Bible messages. Just click and listen as I teach it verse by verse. That's at thebibleversebyverse.com. Well, let's pray. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 2, verse 26. Let's actually go back and begin reading at verse 24. And the servant of the Lord, talking about pastors, preachers, Bible teachers, must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose him, if God perhaps will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You know, another thing Satan has been doing very well, really from the beginning of man, from the beginning of time, is convincing people that God's word is not true. He knows that if he can get you to doubt the word of God, it's a very small step to get you to justifying disobedience to the Word of God. When he can succeed there, he has you. Because once you reject the truth, once you no longer believe that every word, every letter is inspired by God, is the written Word of God, once you quit believing that, you are wide open to believe anything that might sound good. It's the truth. That's why there are over 200, get this, you tell me where you think this comes from. The English-speaking world had one Bible, okay, for, let's see, from the year 1611 to almost 300 years, had one Bible, the King James Version. Every major revival in the English-speaking world occurred under the King James Version. There hasn't been one single solitary revival since the new versions came out. The first new version came out in 1881, based on a too corrupt text translated by some men who didn't even believe the Bible, the Revised Version. And since then, there has been an explosion of Bible translations into English, over 200, and they all say something different. Who do you think is the author of confusion? That's where you go into church and everybody has a different version. And every Bible says something different. No wonder modern evangelicals don't believe the Word of God. Really. And they don't, it's not preached with authority. How can you preach something with authority when the person in the pew has a Bible, it says Bible on it, and it says something different? The King James Version, based on the best manuscripts, handed down from the apostles, the received text, carefully scrutinized by 50-some translators who were so scholarly that they would put to shame the greatest scholars of today. Pious men, scholarly men. Each verse of the King James Version of the Bible was examined 16 times. And there had to be unanimous decision by all the translators before it was entered into the final product. And God blessed it. Not the case anymore. That's why when I read the Bible that I'm using, I'm absolutely convinced that it's the Word of God. I don't have a doubt. You lose that conviction, and Satan has you. Satan has us. Satan has the modern church. It's just a small, small step from doubting God's Word, which happens all across this English-speaking world now. Well, my Bible says this. Well, my Bible says that. Well, you think that creates doubt or confidence in what is written? Doubt, of course. Who's behind that? Satan. And it's all about money. It is. It's not about making it clearer, as they claim. My goodness, you mean 200 tries in the last 120 years, and you still haven't gotten it right? Don't tell me. These things are all copyrighted. The King James Version is not copyrighted, by the way, but those new modern translations are all copyrighted. It's all about making money. It's a big money industry. And Satan is exploiting it to bring doubt and division to the Word of God. And when he does that, when he can succeed there, he has you. Because once you reject truth, you're wide open to believe anything that sounds good. The best way to help someone who is trapped by the devil and that which is false is to speak truth from the holy Word of God and then be holy themselves. Live a good life, speak the truth. Best two things you can do for anyone. Now, let's go into chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, good times are coming for God's people. But before it gets real good, it's going to get real bad. The church is supposed to be a positive influence. That's why we're here. We're supposed to be salt and light in the world, according to Jesus. And so we are to be a blessing. Christians are to be a blessing to the world. But when the church, when too many in the church cease to be holy and cease to proclaim the pure word of Almighty God, it means terrible times for the entire world. Verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. This is a sign that we are in the end. Know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Why? Verse 2, for men will be lovers of their own selves. And what is being promoted today? I'm not talking about in the world. That's understandable. This is talking about in the church, so-called. What is being promoted in the church today? Most sermons on television, anyway, are positive affirmation pep talks. All about self. All about self. There are no talks about repentance. There are very few talks about sin and repentance or the cross of Christ, because that doesn't make people feel good about themselves. And we have to make people feel good about themselves, because men are lovers of self. And we're not talking about the unsaved. We're talking about professing Christians. We got to make them feel good about themselves, especially on television, because if you don't make them feel good about themselves, that's not good for ratings, because people are lovers of self. And if ratings go down, income goes down, and then you got to take your program off television, and then you lose more income. So it's so crystal clear what's going on in the modern church. If we're not in the last days, then I don't know what the last days are going to look like. And I'm not really into prophecy big time. But I got eyes. In the last days, perilous times will come because men, Christians, will be lovers of self. If we aren't there, then I don't know what there will look like. People are lovers of self. You go into a Christian bookstore. I'm talking about a Christian bookstore. And what do you find? All kinds of books promoting self-love, self-fulfillment, self-actualization, self-esteem, self-assertiveness training. It's true. Whatever happened to Jesus' words, unless you deny self and pick up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. God must be first, others second, and us third. And then you hear the Christian psychologists and preachers today, the modern preachers, well, you can't love. We have to promote self-love because you can't love others unless you first love yourself. That is a lie right out of hell. That's a lie. So they work on self-love. And that's what all these books are about. And that's what all the sermons are about. Self-love, self-esteem, you got to feel good about yourself or you can't be useful to Jesus and you can't be useful to anybody else. So we got to work on that first. But you know what? You never love yourself quite enough. You never get to that point where you move out and you love others. Got it backwards. In so many instances, it's backwards. Look at verse 2 again. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous. You know, when people love themselves, they have to love money too. So they can give themselves whatever it is that they want. And so they become covetous. Now, you can have money. You can enjoy what your money buys. But don't love money. And don't love what it can buy. If a person spends more time thinking about money, accumulating it, and what it can buy, of course, if you spend more time thinking about that than you do God, or if you break God's commandments to profit financially, then you are loving money. And in that case, money has become your God. And so it says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, and it goes on to say, proud. Men will be lovers of self, covetous, because you got to feed self, and boasters and proud. Boastful and prideful. Times are going to be terrible as we draw closer to the end because more and more people will think that the world revolves around them, or at least should revolve around them. Why? Because they are the most important. Why? Because they love themselves. Do you see what a dastardly, demonic trap has been set by the modern preachers and the modern so-called Christian psychologists with the emphasis on self? Self is never satisfied. It is against the word of God to love self. God never commands us to love self. He does not have to. It is a given. It is a biblical given. The Bible says everybody nourishes and cherishes themselves. Like the athlete who makes millions of dollars but walks out on his team in the middle of his contract to hold out for more millions. You've seen that happen if you follow sports. And then he says it's not about the money. It's about respect. He's a lover of self. He puts himself, he's already a multimillionaire. He'd never be able to spend all the money that he has. But he puts himself above the team. It's not about money. It's about respect. And you know, there are people out there who respect people like that. Arrogant, self-centered people. That's how warped we become in so many ways. But anyone who would respect an arrogant, self-centered person like that is just as warped as he is. So, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Blasphemers. Beginning to understand why God says times are going to be terrible. People are going to be blasphemers. They're not going to have any respect for God. They're going to be rude to God. They're going to be, therefore, rude to others. They're not going to have any respect for God, so they're going to do hurtful things to God. They're not going to have any respect for God. They're going to blaspheme God. They're going to take God lightly. They're going to treat him as if he is just one of the boys, the big guy upstairs. It's no accident that mass murder in schools and just about everywhere, churches, synagogues, you name it, is common today. That's not an accident. It's not an accident that it's common today when it was unheard of 30 years ago. It's the mark of a society that has turned their back on God and has made self God. How dare you lay me off? I'm going to bring my gun and blow everyone away. How dare you raise the price of Granny Smith apples? I'm coming in this store and I'm going to blow everybody away that's in the produce department. Silly, ridiculous, self-centered people who are so easily offended and looking for attention and looking to make a name for themselves, even if they have to blow their heads off after they're done committing mass murder. Warped, sinful, demonic, devilish. How dare you say that I can't do this or I can't have my... How dare you offend my God, which is me? I'll murder as many people as I possibly can. I'll show y'all. No wonder God says there will be perilous times because men will be lovers of self. And I'll tell you something. It all goes back to that first statement. Perilous times will come because men in the church even will be lovers of self. And if the church doesn't show the way, the world sure isn't going to follow suit. How can they? So he says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. You say, why would God throw that in there? That doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal. It's a huge deal. Any child who lives at home and does not obey their parents has an even bigger problem than not obeying their parents. Every time they rebel against their parent, every time they smart off to their parent, they are rebelling against God. And you parents who let your children get away with rebellion and smart talk to you without disciplining them, shame on you. You are going to stand before God and you're going to be held accountable. Not only that, you're going to have a miserable life with that monster you've created. If children are not taught to respect authority at home, they're not going to be able to respect, they're not going to know to respect other authorities outside the home. See how far they get in this life with that attitude, without proper respect for those in proper authority on the workplace, in school. There's going to be anarchy. In the government, there's anarchy. And that contributes to terrible times. And of course, if you're not taught to respect the proper authority as a child, which is your parents, then that's going to transfer to your attitude toward other authority figures, including God. And so parents, those of you who are not teaching your children to obey, are not disciplining them when they are rebellious, and I'm talking about rebellion, and I'm talking about loving discipline, but those of you who advocate your responsibility to do that, you are helping to condemn that child's soul to hell. You will be in part responsible for condemning your own child to hell. Yes, they are still responsible, but you sure didn't help matters. Perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, ungrateful. And that should not surprise anyone. Self-centered, self-focused, me-first people who have no respect for their parents, who have not been taught to respect anybody in authority, who have no respect for God, who blaspheme God, certainly are not going to be thankful. They're certainly not going to be grateful. Grateful? Grateful for what? Are you kidding? Grateful? Why should I be grateful? I deserve more than I have. There are still several things that I want that I don't have. Why should I be grateful? You can't fill the empty black hole that is called self. That's why they're not grateful. Self-centered people are not grateful. They are ungrateful. They are unthankful. And when you are an unthankful person, you also, of course, are not thankful to God. And being unthankful to God is the first rung in the ladder that leads to moral and spiritual apostasy and damnation. Check it out in Romans chapter 1. That is exactly right. Now, let's read verse 2 again. Last part. They'll be unthankful and unholy. Well, that almost goes without saying, doesn't it? In light of what we've already read. Unholy. Unholy people who profess to be Christians. They may believe in God, but they don't live as if they believe in God. And they don't care that they don't believe, that they don't live as if they believe in God. They don't care because so many of them have been taught that they have that grace gives them a license to sin. You're saved, therefore you're saved forever, therefore it doesn't matter how you act. Oh, a preacher might not say that, but that's the implication of their theology. And they're not even saved to begin with, many of them. They don't live as if they believe in God. They are unholy. They are practical atheists. They might believe in a God, but they are practical atheists. They don't believe. They don't live as if there's a God. They are the only God that they care about, which is also why they are selfish, which is also why they are ungrateful. Verse 3, without natural affection. Without natural affection, that's another sign. Boy, are we there or not? Inhumane is what this is talking about. They don't love. They're without natural affection. My Lord, we are there, ladies and gentlemen. If you didn't think we were there before, as I make this program in May of 2019, it is now legal in at least one state. Forgive me if I haven't followed the news as closely as I used to. It is now legal to give birth to a baby, as you know. For the doctor to wrap that baby up, for the nurse to wrap that baby up, and to care for that baby and give the mother a little time to decide whether she wants to keep it. And if she doesn't, the doctor will kill it. That, my friends, is without natural affection. And we have a woman Speaker of the House, and our president gave the State of the Union address, and he condemned such a horrific law. And the people in his party clapped, applauded, that he condemned such a hideous, ungodly, wicked law. And this woman sat there behind the president, stone-faced, a woman. And she professes to be a Christian. A woman would not applaud the fact that he was condemning this hideous law of being able to murder your baby after he's been alive for a while. Just, yeah, I don't want him. I'm going to kill him. And she sat there stone-faced. And you know what I'm talking about. Frightful. Ladies and gentlemen, if we're not in the last days, please tell me what the last days are going to look like. You know what this is like? We are in a society right now, because it's the end time, because of all these things that are coming to pass, it is like watching an old episode from the Twilight Zone about a futuristic society that was written maybe and produced in the late 50s or maybe around 1960. They had episodes of the Twilight Zone about societies like this. And we're in it, man, because men are lovers of self. And even in the church, that's what's promoted, self-love. So where's the governing force? It's not coming from the church. They're leading the way. Inhumane, without natural affection, they don't love. They don't even show love toward those that it should be the most natural thing in the world for them to love. A mother loving a parent, a child that's just been born. You don't love that baby? That's without natural affection. That is hideously wicked. That is detestable. That is deplorable. That is damnable. You know, lady, you don't have the morality of a wild animal who at least cares for their own. You stoop lower than a baboon. You stoop lower than a dog. You stoop lower than a bear, because they care about their offspring. They care about their babies. And that's where we are as a society. Now you tell me. I'm not a big prophecy person. I'm really not. But man, when it slaps you in the face, when you read stuff like this where God says, in the last days perilous times shall come, and then you look around, and even in the world of so-called Christianity, it's all over the place. What can we conclude? And I'm not a big prophecy guy. But I don't have my head stuck in the sand either. Look up, Christian, for your redemption draws nigh. This is the time to live for Jesus. This is the time to get out his word, to be holier than ever. And we all slip up, to confess the second you fail, to confess the second you sin against God, get right back on track. That's what he wants from you. And to help get out the word of God. We got to get out the word of God to as many people as we possibly can, for as long as we can, before this whole thing goes up in smoke. For more of God's word, go to thebibleversebyverse.com. That's where it starts. Study the word of God at thebibleversebyverse.com. Click the book you want to study. Click the chapter. Open your Bible and listen as I teach it verse by verse from Genesis to Revelation. And if you want to be a part of this ministry and help me to get out the word of God, and I sure hope you do, you can. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. Remember, I'm not underwritten by a large church or denomination. I depend on your prayers and your financial support. Please pray, and please click the donate button at the top of the front page at thebibleversebyverse.com, and prayerfully give as the Lord may lead, and continue studying the word. Until next time, so long, everyone.